Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 118. I'm not going to read it for us right at the start because I'll be reading it as I go through the message this morning. I wonder how many of us think of ourselves as being Christian. You know, we tell others we're a Christian, but I wonder if you have ever wondered what a true Christian looks like. What does a person that is really sold out for God look like? And I wonder, as we go through the message this morning, as you think of your own self, wonder how you would measure up to the psalm. The psalm was Psalm 118. It forms part of a collection of psalms from 113 to 118 called the Hillel Psalms. And if you hear the word Hillel, you will quickly realize that it's the word from which we get our English word hallelujah from. These are psalms that were used by people as they came to the temple to worship the Lord and to thank the Lord for all that he had done for them. And they were words of praise and thanksgiving for all that God meant to them. This particular Psalm 118, we find even in the book of Ezra. You will recall that Ezra was one of those involved in the rebuilding of the temple. And when the temple was rebuilt, they sang Psalm 118 at the opening of the new temple that was, or the rebuilt temple that Ezra had been a part of. So when a person is sold out for God or for Jesus, as I like to say, what kind of person, what does that person look like? So let's work through the psalm. Firstly, when a person is sold out for Jesus, then praise is never far from their lips. Friend, if you really are sold out for Jesus, Jesus should be on your lips at all points in time. Look at the opening five verses. The psalmist begins and he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he set me free." Friends, praise should never be far from your lips if you really love the Lord. The psalmist, as he writes, we're not 100% sure who particularly wrote this psalm, but it more than likely was David. It's got such a feel about David's love for God. It's got such a kind of, as you read through the psalm, it just oozes David's wonderful confidence in God. And when he says, in times of anguish, that word translated anguish, or difficulty, as it's translated in some of the Bible, literally means even when I am in a tight place. The image that is used here is of somebody walking through the valleys of Israel. And sometimes they had to go through very tight ravines. And the reason why they used that particular word to describe the time of danger was that when you walk through the tight ravines, friends, you were most vulnerable to attack. When you were out in the veldt, you could run in any direction. But when you were in a ravine, in a tight place, the enemy could simply come in front of you and go to the back of you and block you in there. And then they could attack you. And so the psalmist says, Even when I'm in the tight places of life, even when I'm in the difficult places of life, Jesus is on my lips. Let me ask you, what do you like? Is Jesus on your lips at all points in time? Is he one that receives the praise, regardless of the difficulty you may be going through? The sad reality, friends, is that it's most oftentimes in the difficult periods of life where people don't praise Jesus but curse Jesus. Why has this come upon me, God? Why is this so difficult for me? But friend, the person who sold out for Jesus always has Jesus on his lips, like the man who was healed from being possessed by more than 1,000 demons, we can understand. He could not stop talking about Jesus, friends, and we should be the same. Jesus should always be on our lips. Number two, when a person is sold out for Jesus, then peace is never far from their hearts. The psalm carries on and says this, "The Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than even to trust in princes." Friend, the one who is sold out for Jesus has peace in their hearts. Peace is never far from their hearts. And the psalmist is basically is saying, and if it is David, we understand why David could so confidently say this. Because, friends, there was a moment when he first started serving God where the bears and the lions were against him. Then it was Saul who was against him. Then it was the enemies of Israel that were against him. And in the end, friends, even his own son Absalom turned his back on his father. And David could say, man, peace is still in my heart. Doesn't matter what is around me. Doesn't matter who I'm facing, what difficulty I'm facing, friends. With Jesus by my side, I never need to live in fear because peace is in my heart. When Joshua sent the spies into the what was then to be the promised land as the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, Joshua says this to them in Joshua 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a young child, probably 15 or 16, maybe even younger. We're not 100% sure. But certainly, it was one of the things Jeremiah said to God. He said, "God, I'm too young. Who's going to listen to me? I'm only a child." This is what God says to Jeremiah. "Don't be afraid of them." That's talking about his seniors. "For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." For the young leaders this week, don't forget, God goes with you. God will be with you. You don't need to be afraid of anybody, friends. When God is with you, you can go with confidence because he'll never leave you and never forsake you. Thirdly, when a person is sold out for Jesus, then trust is never far from their attitude. They always live in an attitude of trust. Listen to the psalmist as he carries on in verse 10 to 16. He says, all the nations surround me, but the name of the Lord, by the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They swarm around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high, and the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Why could David live with such an attitude of trust? We were reminded of this in our Bible study time on Wednesday evening, friends. David could trust in the Lord because the Lord had been with him over and over and over again. And the message of the psalm seems like a difficult message. Because David writes, or whoever wrote the psalm, says, whenever they come against me, it says, I will cut them off. What does he mean by that? Well, we've got to look a little deeper into the Hebrew here. The word to be cut off literally means to be circumcised. And so what David is actually saying, he says, when they come against me, I will turn my enemies into my friends. That's what he's saying. Those who want to come against me, friends, God will make even the enemies of Israel to become members of Israel. That's where the phrase comes from. I will cut them off. I will circumcise them so that they become part of the covenant of Israel as well. Friend, when God is on our side, we need fear nobody. We can go constantly in a matter of trust. Why else can we go in a matter of trust? Not only because God will change their hearts and make them friends, but secondly, he says here, the Lord is at my right hand. What's he talking about? Of course he's talking about Jesus, friends. He didn't know he was talking about Jesus, because who is at the right hand of the Father? Even now, praying and interceding on our behalf. It's none other than Jesus himself. So the psalmist, as he writes, I don't need to be afraid, even though they surround me. Even though they're like a bunch of bees buzzing around me all the time, I don't need to be afraid, because the Lord will deal with them. He is at my right hand, because he is from the right hand of the Father. Number four, when a person is sold out for Jesus, then surrender is never far from their actions. Even when he does something wrong, the person who is sold out for Jesus realizes that they're far away from Jesus. Listen to verse 17 and 18. The psalmist writes, he says, I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. Even when the Lord chastises me severely, he has not given me over to death. The psalmist, friends, and David understood that, because David also messed up. Just like all of us human beings. David messed up. He committed adultery. He caused the murder of somebody. He did many things that really hurt the Lord. But the wonderful thing is, friends, when he sensed that God was working in his life, when he realized that he was at fault, he was very quick to surrender again to who Jesus is. You know, when we were growing up as children, or I know when I was growing up as a child, I didn't like being punished. Did you like being punished as a child? Wasn't very nice, was it? I can remember, I shouldn't tell you the story, but I can remember the one time my mother gave me a hiding. I deserved it. I had one very good friend as I was growing up, and the two of us, you know, it was that love-hate relationship. When we were with each other, we loved each other, and we always fought with each other. And he didn't live in the house right next to me, but the next house. And we kind of used to go across from our house to each other and spend a lot of time with each other. And one day he had made me angry, and he was in his yard, and I was walking back from his yard. And as I was walking back from his yard, I was swearing at him. Ah, you know, whatever you say, you know, as a child. Telling him to go and jump. And as I walked in the door, my mother was waiting at the door with a big flat hand. And she swiped at me, and I ducked. And what was meant to be hitting me on my bottom hit me in my mouth. Bah! Gave me a bloody nose. She felt worse than I did, I think. But let me tell you, I never swore at my friend again. I never swore in public again, ever. Sometimes it's like that with God, friends. Sometimes God has to punish us. Sometimes through very difficult times. David, friends, David went through deep, deep, deep water. Yet when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, when Nathan the prophet said to David, "You are the one who is sinning." We've got Psalms about David's confession, Psalm 51 and others that remind us that David realized he had sinned against the Lord and he was ready again to serve God. Because, friends, surrender was never far from his heart. The person who sold out for God, friends, doesn't get cross with God when he punishes them. The person who sold out for God, friends, listens to God and learns the lesson and moves on from there. Number five, when a person is sold out for God, their dependence is never far from their humility. They learn dependence. Listen to what the psalmist says. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Friend, the person who is truly sold out for God acknowledges that there is nothing they have ever done that has earned for them salvation. The true Christian is one who is totally trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. The Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 3 that there is no good within us, friends. We may think we're good people, but the Bible makes it very clear that there is nothing good in us. Listen to what it says. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The Apostle Paul, in the end, had to say in Romans chapter 7, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, he says. But then he finishes off when he says, because you have become my salvation. Friend, the true child of God is a dependent person, dependent totally upon Jesus for salvation, dependent totally upon Jesus for righteousness, dependent totally upon Jesus for anything good, friends, that may come out of us. It all comes from Jesus. We have no capacity within ourselves. That's the person who sold out for Jesus. If you're listening to people and they're telling you, well, you've got to ask God to bring, you know, to empower you, you know, to bring out the best in you. No, friends, you must ask God to bring out the best through you. Because that's the only way he can work. He doesn't take you. He works through you to do his own work. Finally, when a person is sold out for Jesus, then pointing to him is never far from their fingers. That's the person, friends, who loves Jesus. How do I know the psalm is about Jesus? Even although it was written hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the face of this earth. Well, the next few verses remind us of that. Look at verse 22. It says this, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, friends. Because in Matthew 22 and verse 42, in Mark chapter 12 and verse 11, in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, they all point to this particular psalm. And in each of those occasions, they're talking about Jesus. In each of them, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, the stone the builders rejected has become the most important stone in the whole building. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. But the psalm doesn't end there. The psalm carries on, verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession to the horns of the altar. What's the psalmist talking about? Well, he's talking about Palm Sunday, friends. Because in Luke chapter 21 and verse 9, sorry, Matthew 21 verse 9, Matthew 23 and verse 39, Mark chapter 11 verse 9, Luke chapter 13 verse 35, and John chapter 12 and verse 13. It says this, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. And they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The psalmist knew there is only one person to point to, and that's to Jesus. Friend, there's nobody else we can point to. The person who is sold out for Jesus doesn't point like that. He points like that to Jesus. Every finger must point to Jesus, because friends, that is the person who sold out to Jesus. They all point to him. And it ends, let me now say finally, with the person who sold out for Jesus identifies with Jesus. The identifying with Jesus never far from their cry. Look what verse 28 says. The psalmist says, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Can you say that today, friends? Jesus, you are my God. Friend, where do you point to? When people are looking for help, where do you point to? Do you point people to Jesus? Or do you point them to somebody else or something else? One final thing to leave with you this morning. How excited are you about Jesus? Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, would people miss what you have to say? If this were your last day on earth, would you have left a legacy? Would people be pointing to Jesus? Would people be in love with Jesus because of what you have done? Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be sold out for you. Thank you for the psalmist, even although we believe it may be David, Lord, who was called a man after your own heart. Lord, we want to be people like that, men and women after your own heart. Help us, Lord, to truly find out how we can ensure that we are portraying, that not only portraying, Lord, that we are living every day as if you are the King and Lord of all. We pray that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.